Hey, this is Katie Sackhoff, and you are listening to Screen Geeks.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 76. This is Dave.
And Barry.
And Josh.
And Ethan.
Yay. Josh is back.
Hey.
Let us say congratulations in person, sir.
Oh, thank you.
And since you're sitting off mic. And joining us for at least the first portion to talk about Star Trek and stuff, my wife Stephanie is here, too.
Yay.
Hello.
Crowded house.
Yay.
It is.
Who do you have, Ethan?
Shut up.
Fair enough. It's okay. Someday you'll get out here and we'll just do a gigantic show around the table. I'll have to like go rent like a banquet hall table or something to do the show. So let's talk about what we watched this week. Josh,
I've been gone so long.
We can just say for the last week, you know, if you want to.
Well, we rewatched all the Saw movies.
Wow.
She liked them.
All of them? I'll be writing something for you. Will you? Sweet. Yes. Cool. Yes.
Wolverine.
I'm sorry.
The leaked and the theater one.
Same cut, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Oh, yeah.
Gone. You did see it?
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
There's a reason it dropped by 68%.
Yeah, I don't, not really that much. Okay. Except for that Cape Fear and stuff.
Parents. Cool. It's all good. Barry, what about you, sir?
Watched Back to the Future Part 2. Pretty sweet. Great sequel.
You think so?
Yeah, I really like Back to the Future 2 a lot.
Do you like it better than 3?
Yes, much better than 3.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have... It gets picked on for not having as much heart as the first one or the third one. But I don't know, I just think it's a really ingenious sequel. I love the stuff they do with it being a sequel within a sequel and, you know, the whole bit of Doc and Marty revisiting the 50s while they're revisiting the 50s, revisiting the first movie. I love, like, all the paradoxes that get stacked up pretty tall. And I love Thomas F. Wilson as Biff.
Very cool.
It's my favorite one.
I love the message of Back to the Future 3, which isn't that time is what you make it, but rather in the future you will always have to deal with Biff. He will always be a presence. He will always be a nuisance. He will always be evil, and he will always be stupid. I love that.
Yeah, he can't get any of the colloquialisms right.
Yes,
at all.
Yeah, right.
Make like a tree. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Sweet. I'm trying to think what I watched. You know, it's been a whole lot of Star Trek. I did watch the first episode, or most of the first episode, of Henry Rollins Uncut. He did like 3 specials.
Oh, nice.
And it's on Netflix. Just watch it now. And it's have you seen that, Ethan?
I've seen his show, the Henry Rollins, and I'm a fan.
Was it the one where he does part stand-up and he goes like to the city and like the poor parts and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, I watched the South African one, and it was really powerful and really good, and the man's got a lot of passion. I got to give him that.
Yeah.
Always. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. What?
I saw the Bourne Identity for the first time.
Oh, okay.
Oh wow.
No?
It didn't do it for me. I slept for like 30 minutes of it, too.
The green grass one, way better.
Yeah.
Which one was that?
Supremacy.
Yeah. Supremacy? Okay.
Yeah. I've got them all.
And Ultimatum.
Okay. The shaky cam thing. It's not Matt Damon. I just couldn't do it.
That's not even in the first one, though. That's in the...
Yeah.
Matt Damon.
You said it. I had to put it in there. Okay. Ethan, what about you, sir?
I didn't get to watch a lot this week. That's the two things we'll talk about a lot. But I watched Fanboys.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, too.
Yeah.
And did you like it, sir?
I hate to say this, but not really. I just thought the humor in it was very... You know,
it's not a perfect movie. That's for sure.
Like there's these cameos by like Billy Dee Williams and Carrie Fisher, and they say four lines. Really, I hate to say it's not that different than like a Friedberg or Seltzer.
Is it a Friedberg Seltzer movie? Really?
Oh, wow. No, it wasn't. He was saying it's not. You didn't think it was much better than a Friedberg Seltzer movie.
Ouch. Dang. Okay, then what else?
It was kind of cute.
It has its moments.
I was in a situation where I was forced to rewatch Crash, the Paul Haggis one, not the car fetish one.
You always have to make that distinction before you start talking about this movie.
Yeah, but this is it's such a silly movie. Like while watching, I was just saying, how did this win Best Picture? It's such a silly movie, and everything and is contrived. It's basically racism for 5-year-olds. It really
It's racism
me.
For what?
It's racism for 5-year-olds. Oh,
dang. Okay. Wow, I don't want to know about the 5-year-old who gets exposed to that, but yes, yes, I understand what you're saying.
That's cool. Pretty much it.
Fair enough. It's all right. You know, I have a feeling we're going to be talking plenty about one of this week's releases, which is going to be Next Day Air, right?
Yes, a lot to talk about.
Yes, so what came out in theaters this week, sir?
J.J. Abrams' critically acclaimed movie, Star Trek, currently the number one film in America with a $76.2 million opening. Yay!
Yes!
The one that nobody saw, Next Day Air with Mike Epps. And the one that nobody really saw with Robert Pattinson in limited release, Robert Pattinson is not Salvador Dali in Little Ashes.
When did Ghosts of Girlfriends Past open? Was that last week?
Last week against Wolverine, yeah.
Yeah, it's doing okay. It's hanging in there.
Doing better than Battle for Terra.
Much better than Battle for Terra, which I think was like number 89 this week.
No, it wasn't that low, but it didn't do good. Yeah.
It's so
it's
sad.
Like in the 50s, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's really sad.
Yeah.
Well, if they would like actually market it, maybe you know people would go see it.
Yes. There definitely is something to be said about the complete lack of marketing out there for it. So, did anyone see anything besides Star Trek? I'm guessing no one saw.
Well, nothing else is worth seeing at this point.
I was just making sure, you know, because, hey, you know, if someone saw something different, it's all good. So, Star Trek, Ethan, I'll let you kick it off. What'd you think?
This was both a emotional and experience for me, watching this film in the theater.
Is it emotional and spiritual?
Yes.
Nice. Well, you gave it quite the nice review on the site.
Well, just from the opening sequence with Kirk's father, which brought a tear to my eye, I knew this movie was going to be something special and not just an exciting movie, but just an emotional one. And I think some people have said it doesn't have the social commentary of Roddenberry's original vision, but I think it has a lot of depth overall in terms of its characters. And I think that's what makes this film so good is its character work. Quinto as Spock, he's terrific, and I think it's Spock in this is really the most interesting character. And Nimoy's cameo was cool too. And that moment, you know, spoiler alert, sorry.
That's okay. It actually just dropped out right as you said that, so it's perfect.
Nice.
Although everyone who's seen the movie knows what you're talking about. Cool. Well, I'm going to let Stephanie jump in on... No, I'm going to let you jump in on the conversation as we talk about it. Yeah, because I'm getting the look of death. Okay. Barry, what'd you think?
Well, you know what? I appreciate that Ethan brought that up, the whole social significance, because people have been saying, yeah, you know, it's fun, but there's nothing to it. It's fluff. And having seen it a second time, I think you'll agree with me on this. I think it's extremely socially relevant. Eric Bana's character is working on a terrorist mentality. You know, the whole notion of, you know, you've wronged my people, so I'm going to wipe you out and wipe out everybody that's associated with you. And certainly the scene of a certain iconic Star Trek character watching his world literally vanish and fall apart, not only was that heartbreaking, but it's certainly, you know, bringing up 9/11 allusions there.
I think
the movie is very much about the fear of terror and the fear of terrorism, the fear of somebody, you know, trying to wipe us all out because we're all connected and we're trying to make democracy work. So I see, not only do I think this is the best movie I've seen all year, but I think, yeah, it's absolutely socially significant. The only, you know, if I were to carp, I think it's funny that, you know, this is how many years in the future and Nokia is still around.
Yeah.
but that's okay because Blade Runner, according to Blade Runner, Atari is still live and well too. So it's okay. I think I could forgive the movie for that.
Yeah.
I was also kind of thinking, but I guess at that point, your Beastie Boys Sabotage would be like a moldy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That'd be on the oldie station.
Yeah. It'd be like an Elvis song for us now. Yeah. Yeah.
Josh.
I loved it.
Yeah, that's really
so,
all.
Yeah, and, well, I've never been a Trekkie, so I think am I the only one here that's not a Star Trek fan? Like, I know Ethan, you've been watching them, right? Like, catching up with them.
Yeah, but I'd seen the show before. I just never seen the movies.
See, I've never been any like had any kind of connection with anything.
Okay,
so and I like loved it.
Cool.
So,
right on. Oh, you have to start watching the old stuff now.
I felt the whole time though. I was thinking about like. Just, I kept thinking of how bad Indiana Jones was. I'm sorry, but that's what I just got. I was like, God, this is so good. And like, Indiana Jones sucked so much. So
it's funny, Josh, you say that. I was kind of thinking the same thing, even though I liked Indiana Jones. Like, I just saw this has that feel of a classic Spielberg blockbuster where it's exciting, but you're so into it. There's no kind of detachment you feel for forget about after it's over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which Kingdom of the Crystal Skull admittedly kind of was.
Well, and it definitely had that. Like the whole time I've kind of brought back that like a reason why you love watching movies, that whole thing, which I haven't gotten in a very long time from seeing a movie. So
yeah, this was the first time I went to see it Thursday night at 7 and was offered to go see it again at 10. And if I had to think really hard because I ended up not going, but I was really tempted to. And this is the first time in a long time I was like, I have to see this movie again immediately. So yeah, I the way I put it was like for Trekkers, what, I don't care about the title. Maybe that's why I'm liking this movie as much as I am. The summer movie season's over. Everyone else can just pack up their toys and go home. You know, I mean, there's other movies I'll see, but I don't see, there's nothing else on the horizon that I can see that's going to match up with this at all.
Well, G.I. Joe definitely is going to give it a run for its money.
Because Marlon Wayans is going to save the summer.
Oh. Yay!
Oh, gosh. I will say... go ahead.
Sorry, I went to the 7:30 showing, so pretty much same thing. But how was your audience, guys?
Hooping and hollering. Yeah, they were going nuts.
Well, I saw there's three showings. There was 7:15 and 7:30, and I went to 7:30, so it was a little thinned out. Like it was still full, but probably wasn't quite the diehard, as many diehards. But still, when McCoy said, "Damn it, I'm a doctor, not a physicist," a guy in the audience went and yelled out, "Yes!" It was pretty cool.
Yeah, our entire crowd cheered at the one I was at.
Yeah.
Oh, that was Carl Urban, the guy from Doom, Éomer from freaking Lord of the Rings. Was freaking amazing in this movie. It was like DeForest Kelly like possessed him or something, in a good way. Not, it wasn't like, you know, this mimicization or something. And you liked him a lot in it, yeah.
He was sexy.
It's a nice surprise. I don't think he's ever been this good in a movie before. And I never, out of everybody in the cast, I really wonder what they were thinking when they cast him. Until you see how good he is.
Yeah, the bug eyes. That's what sells it.
Yeah.
The bug eyes and the
had accent. The scowl and everything down.
Yeah, he absolutely did. And you brought up a very interesting point in that really since the original series, this brought back the sexiness back to Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. I was sitting there thinking, I can see the way that I'm reacting to this movie is very much like what I would imagine they were reacting to the original series in the 60s. Next Generation lost a lot of the sexy appeal, basically, and this was just... it brought it back. You've got the swagger. You've got the...
it's more than just eye candy kind of sexy, too.
It's the cocky.
Yeah. Between every character. You know, I mean, you can make the case in Next Generation, I guess, for Wrecker somewhat. And when Troy isn't wearing a Snuggie, that can, you know, kind of, sort of. But
they were much more professional.
Yeah.
Next Generation was an attempt to make it professional, and this is serious business, and we are really people who are exploring. We're not just exploring each other. We're exploring the galaxy.
What about Wesley
Crusher?
Crusher, though.
The teen beat heart throb. You know, I'm curious. Well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I have to admit, Wesley is what got me into Star Trek. So.
There you go. Now, Josh, you said you're not a big Trek guy. How big are you into Star Trek, Barry?
Pretty big. The same way a lot of people who become Trekkers from this film, I became a Trekker from Star Trek IV.
Okay.
You know, that was the first Star Trek thing I'd ever seen. You know, and like a lot of people, you know, I was a new indoctrinated fan after that and watched a lot of Star Trek. And yeah.
For me, I grew up watching it because my dad's a big sci-fi junkie. Mm-hmm. And watched the entire series, watched the original series, watched Next Generation. I kind of quit caring about Star Trek after the TV series Next Generation, and I quit caring about Star Trek, period, after First Contact. So I DS9 was okay. I did not like Voyager, and I really did not like Enterprise. And then there's Insurrection, and then I've discovered Star Trek Nemesis should be reclassified. It should be burned, like every print should be burned. It should be treated like the Star Wars Holiday Special. That's what that is for Star Trek. That's what Nemesis is. So I've been turned off to Star Trek. Oh, go ahead.
No, you finish. I think it'd be better if I won't.
Okay. Because they got so bogged down in trying to be so socially, you know, mm-hmm. up to date and conscious and losing every aspect of the fun. I mean, I quit caring about Star Trek. For me, yeah, sure, those shows exist, but to me, I really don't pay any attention to them. And this brought Star Trek, this got me excited about Star Trek again. So, go ahead, Ethan.
Well, I watched reruns as a kid, so I was like kind of into, well, yeah, I was into Star Trek, and I saw the Next Generation movies, but I was kind of out of it for a while. Yeah, this, I think, like, recently I've mentioned, like, Star Trek to friends. And whenever I just say, people just bust out laughing. But I think after this, it's not going to happen anymore.
Well, this movie was designed to appeal to the Joshes, the people who haven't seen who don't have all the history and the nitpicks to bring to the table. This was really designed to appeal to a whole new generation of people who aren't Trekkies.
Yeah.
Well, there's just never a good way into Star Trek mm-hmm. from not being a, there's always, it's always like, well, shit, I can't, you know, it's like, you know how much stuff I'd have to watch to get into it? Drug,
well, if you don't have the, 30, 40, 50 years worth of experience, you don't know all the secret phrases and all the handshakes, and it's really exclusionary mm-hmm. up until this movie.
And I think some people aren't happy that it's no longer exclusionary,
mm-hmm.
just from some of the things I've read. So, yeah, you brought up one thing that I love about this movie is it makes everything fit in with the continuity. It doesn't detract from the legitimacy of the original series, any of the original series. It kind of wraps up that universe and brings in a new universe, which I loved. It also makes it almost bulletproof as far as, you know, people whining about continuity. But you brought up a very interesting point that's just worth bringing up, just because it's like more of a trivia fact than anything else. There's one thing that they really didn't explain.
What, the Sam?
Yes.
Where was James's older brother, Sam?
That's about it. Which is really easy to explain in so many different ways. Which I love that.
Yeah, he was off on Earth with his grandparents, and his mother was part of the crew, and that's why she was on the ship, because they didn't have families on the previous incarnations before D.
Next Gen, yeah. So, yeah. Yippee. What I would like to hear very much... I know there are Trekkers, I will say, use the proper term now, because even though I don't care, I know some people do. If you didn't like this movie, I would love for you to email me and tell me what you were looking for out of this film. Because I'm very curious. I'm legitimately curious as to what people were expecting. So, yeah. I guess we can go ahead and wrap this up a little bit. I'm kind of... Do you guys want to talk about anything else? Well, go ahead, Ethan.
There's one thing I was just a little disappointed with. No missiles.
No what?
Vessels.
No nuclear vessels, yes.
Yeah, I was... Whenever Chekhov was on screen, I literally, under my breath, was chanting, say vessels, vessels, say vessels. But never happened. That was a little disappointing.
I had other nitpicks. I was really distracted by the hair.
For Chekhov?
Chekhov's hair. I wanted to take a flat iron to it. He does not have curls.
Fair enough.
It's better than the monkey's hair he had in the original show.
I would have been happy with the monkey's hair. The curls, I just kept wanting to ping them.
Okay. But see, that's the thing. It's like, in the grand scheme of things, if that's really what you have to come up with, congratulations to J.J. Abrams. I said this on my Facebook. I have enough faith in J.J. Abrams now that if he made a Twilight movie, I would be there opening day now.
Is that what he wants to do?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm just saying that...
What do you want him to do?
No, I don't...
Well, I watched this whole interview with him on Thursday before I went to the movie. It was like a 30-minute thing on him. And that... Who's the guy he has his own show? It's like a big table.
Jon Favreau. Talking Dinner for Five, or...?
No.
Charlie Rose.
I think it was Rose show.
Yes.
And he's a huge, huge Spielberg fan.
Yeah.
And he said, like, Twilight Zone is, like, one of his biggest influences.
Okay.
So cool. That could be something that he would do, maybe.
Yeah, who knows?
A little push from the Screen Geeks.
No, Twilight.
Twilight. Oh, Twilight.
Yeah.
Oh. No, not a Twilight.
I have enough faith that he could make a good movie out of anything is pretty much
what I'm saying. Oh, okay. Never mind.
Right now. But that's interesting. No, I love Charlie Rose interviews. Yeah. He's like the man as far as that's concerned. So did anyone else want to bring anything else up before we...
Definitely, yeah. I think we're scratching the surface here. I love that the movie essentially gives us an alternate Star Trek universe. You could foreseeably bring back William Shatner now. You could. You could foreseeably not have Kirk die. You could foreseeably bring back Khan. You could really start from zero. We could start all over again and go in different directions than the previous canon has established.
Well, I'll admit that that's what I'm a little bit hesitant about any future sequels, because I think part of the charm of this one was telling the backstory, but also reinventing this universe. But now where do they go from here with this universe? Is it just, are we going to tell all the old stories again with the, with little twists here and there? I mean, are we going to watch a bunch of mirror universe stories from the original series, or are we going to get something truly unique and fresh and investigating some of the changes that they have actually made to the setting now?
Yeah.
Well, I definitely want to see Tribbles in the next one.
Well, that's the thing. They'll have to dip into what's familiar, because let's face it, you're going to have the Klingons. You're probably going to have to bring back some kind of classic villain. They might even bring back the Borgs in some way, shape, or form. But as long as they do what this film did, which is to stay honest to the characters, honest to the story, but at the same time, Abrams is essentially doing a Star Wars with this film. You know, I mean, he made Star Trek rock and roll. He made it very American. He made it very sexy, and he basically, brought it back to, like you're saying, like the '60s allure of this series. Not so much the stodgy PC-ness of the next generation, even though the next generation was great. I mean, this is really, really taking it back to something like, so accessible that it's kind of sky's the limit. And hopefully they'll do it right and not, inject so much. I mean, one of the problems with Nemesis is that they were trying to do to Nemesis what they did with this movie. They jacked it with so much action.
And they brought in an outsider.
Changed so many of the characters. Yeah, I mean, they really, really tried to overhaul it, and it ended up appealing to nobody.
Yeah. There are two things I loved about this. First of all, the fact that they didn't hit a reset button at the end of these catastrophic changes to the universe.
Yeah.
I love that fact. And Zachary Quinto, seeing it the second time, I'm sure you noticed this too, Barry, is how subtle his performance is.
Yes.
When he's standing in front of the Vulcan Council and they talk about his disadvantage, you just see this one little eye twitch in his left eye, but it does everything you need it to.
Yeah.
So I was talking to Billy Flynn over at Geek Radio Daily, and he said it was kind of like when Ozymandias at the end was talking to Dr. Manhattan and says, he doesn't say much, but the slightest twitch of an eye speaks volumes. Mm-hmm. And I really think he took that to heart and did a great job with it.
Yeah, it's a complex performance. It's not that Nimoy wasn't as good. It's just that I don't know if Nimoy always had this much to work with. I mean, they really, really gave this guy a fantastic backstory, so you really do have all this depth to the character. And Quinto, and for that matter, Pine, really milked all that they were given. And some other critic pointed this out. Zoe Saldana has more to do in this movie than Nichelle Nichols ever had to do in the whole series.
Yeah, I like the fact that they expanded the character. As opposed to making her the Gwen figure from Galaxy Quest who just repeats the computer.
Right.
They make a point of showing why she has business being the bridge communications officer.
Yeah, why she's so important. Exactly.
Yeah. So I had it actually was on a chat yesterday with over at gmanreviews.com with Andrew and then Shannon over at moviemoxie.blogspot.com. And Shannon was a little bit taken aback with the relationship with between Spock and Uhura, which is a minor spoiler. Sorry.
I actually sort of trivia a bit, but apparently in the original, how the Star Trek original series that they had the first interracial, Shatner and apparently that was originally supposed to be Nimoy who kissed her, but Shatner did some talking to the producers and got that changed.
Well, that was because the producers were afraid, thought it would be easier to get it past censors in that time frame if they put the black woman with the alien instead of the white man.
Interesting. But you also brought up an interesting point about their relationship. There's hints to it.
There is in the original series, there's hints that there's more to that relationship anyway. In the Charlie X episode, when Nichelle starts singing an accompaniment to Spock's playing his lair or whatever thing, but he sits there and he actually smirks at her. I mean, there's just little hints every now and then that you could kind of see where that they could have picked that up and ran with it in this movie.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yes, it's a good movie.
So I have no problem with that.
Yeah,
with that relationship developing.
It took some getting used to for me, but that was really about it. Yeah.
Dave, you need to talk about Simon Pegg, man. Simon Pegg's your guy. I thought you'd be all over this. Come on.
He needed more hair, too.
They blew the hair.
They really did. It was those two characters I had issues with. It was distracting to see the balding head when, you know, Scotty's supposed to have this full head of hair.
I loved Pegg in it because it's some people have said that he was too self-aggrandizing, too cocky. You know, it was always there in the original series. He was just already set, and everyone was already telling him he's the man. So he was cool with it. Right now, he's... go ahead.
I loved his little, like, sidekick.
Yeah, like the Ewok made of stone.
Yeah.
That was great. His sense of humor is totally intact. I'm very curious to see how he does... Scott has always crossed me as the kind of character who just lives in the moment and is like, you know, sucks the marrow of life, you know, to go the Dead Poets Society route. And he, you know, after the really intense fight that happens on the bridge, he's like, I like this place. It's exciting. Well, everyone's standing there in shock.
Yeah.
And just horrified, you know, abject horror. It was just such a great touch. I think he did great. I loved his accent. I know that he researched it because, you know, his girlfriend / wife, I forget which, is Scottish. So he actually had like a true coach. So,
oh, great.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed him a lot. The reason I don't talk too much about him is because Carl Urban just floored me.
Yeah, likewise. I agree. Out of everybody in the cast, his was the most pleasant surprise, I thought.
Absolutely.
I think outside of Quinto, his was actually the closest looking as well. Mm-hmm. He looked like a younger DeForest Kelly.
Yeah.
Little he had that drawl. He had the drawl. Yeah. And, oh, yeah. The whole thing was talking about that his wife got the entire planet in a divorce, and so he had nowhere else to go. Oh. In the shuttle when he's talking about how the different ways they could die. He's just so great in that movie.
Yeah. I was so stunned to see Tyler Perry in the film.
Yes.
The first time it was a huge shock. The second time it was a little easier to take. But yeah, he was very good in this film.
Because it wasn't Madea being the head of Starfleet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, is that who that was?
Yeah, yeah. It's Tyler Perry.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought I recognized him. I was like, isn't he fatter?
Why isn't he in a dress?
Yeah. So, cool. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. I mean, there's going to be so much to talk about. I'm kind of Star Trek'd out almost. I'm not going to be talking about it anymore.
Are you going to go see it again, though, next weekend?
I'm seeing it next weekend. I'm taking my dad. Yes, absolutely. Third time. Yes, I have to. My dad. My mom took like our like surrogate grandmother to see it on Friday, and they loved it. I mean, almost everyone I've talked to has loved this movie. So, yeah.
Well, let me ask Stephanie a question, because I was talking to my friend Greg about this Trekkie question. What's the last time you saw a Trek film where you really cared about the characters and the story that emotionally engaged you? Because for me, it's The Undiscovered Country. That's the last time I really was involved in everything that the film offered.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
Yeah.
And honestly, out of the movies in general, there's very little of that for me.
It's more like having fun with the adventure.
Not even that. It was more I was watching it and being a fan out of a sense of obligation.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I was more a fan of the series. I like character development. And I actually thought that was part of the appeal of this movie, because you actually got to see them step beyond their roles in the original series. And that's what I say to the people who are like talking about the lack of social commentary. It's when can we move this franchise beyond and have it develop and take on its own life? I mean, Gene Roddenberry's vision was great. It was, you know, we should always stay true to it, but there are so many nuances you can take with that, that you don't have to follow this script of social commentary. We say this, we're PC.
Witty joke at the end, roll credits.
Mm-hmm.
This was just fun. Yeah. And that, I think, is the appeal, and that's why it's appealing to people who don't have the years of experience with it. It's because it's fun. It's a gateway drug.
Well put.
Absolutely it is.
I have to say, it was just nice to be able to sit in a movie and just, like, within the first 5 minutes, just be like, and not be like, God damn it, like with Wolverine the whole time.
After the first 20 minutes.
Just like, what? No, what? Oh, okay, cool. No, yeah, so.
Yeah, for me, this is another Iron Man. This is Iron Man or Superman Returns. Like, for me, this is everything I want in a summer film.
I want a film in general, for that matter.
Sure.
It was just so much fun.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything I like better this year so far.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cool. Well, let's go ahead and move on a little bit. And thanks to my beautiful wife for agreeing to come on, because she doesn't like doing it too much, but I had to get that perspective. But anyhow,
that was great.
Let's talk about what's hitting DVD.
DVD this week, Taken 1 and 2 extended cuts, so more of Liam bashing.
It's kind of like Gandhi 2 in UHF. You know, this time it's personal.
Absolutely. Yeah, some more Liam action. Star Trek 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 on Blu-ray. Underworld, Rise of the Lycans, starring Bill Nighy and Rhona Mitra. No Kate. And then S. Darko, Donnie Darko Tales.
I am going to watch that.
Are you?
I'm curious.
I will watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because, I don't know.
Just because.
Just because.
Because Elizabeth Berkley's in it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she is?
Yeah. Maybe she'll sing I'm So Excited. One can only hope. Yeah. That's really it for this week, isn't it? This is a pathetic DVD week.
Yeah, not a good week.
Did you get Freakazoid Season 2?
Of course.
Is it good?
Yes. It's not as good as the first season, but it's still really good. Well worth checking out. I was going to say, actually, just as a pure side note, it's worth, if you have a Kroger grocery store, whether it be King Supers or City Market or whatever, it's worth checking out because I found the 3-disc edition of Wind Talkers for $6, as well as the 20th anniversary 2-disc edition of Platoon.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to talk about Star Trek the cereal. You know, they got the collector's edition Star Trek breakfast cereal.
Did you see the gummy Star Trek and like the chevrons?
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, and they're really good, too. Hmm. Good. So, yeah. All right, so let's talk a little bit of news. We talked the District 9 trailer briefly last week. This week we had the like deglorified version where you see the aliens, you see the
subtitles
and everything. Pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah, very intriguing.
Yeah. Very curious to see it.
So they're like, they're on our planet. We don't want them here, right?
Yeah.
So we kind of like quarantine them.
Yeah, it's they're literal illegal aliens. Well, I think they're trying to make the same point that Alienation did. I mean, literally in that sense, yeah.
Go ahead.
Melissa's joined us now.
Yay!
With that trailer, I thought that was like a documentary about something that was real for like 5 seconds. Yeah. I was like, wait, is this about real people like somewhere? And then I was all disappointed when it was about aliens.
This is going to be, aw, dang it.
But hey, it's the guy who
at least be better than Crossing Over.
Yeah.
At
least be better than Crossing Over.
One can hope.
Yeah, that'd be the best of news. Anyone else have anything they want to throw out there?
Oh, I saw the Land of the Lost trailer.
Yeah. Are you dumber for seeing it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Sleestacks. It still
has
Sleestacks.
Did you talk about the Halloween trailer yet?
No, we didn't talk about it, really.
Have you seen it yet?
I did.
And the poster.
Yeah, no, we did talk about it. We totally talked about that trailer because remember I brought up, wow, he's moved it into trailer trash hillbilly terrorist.
That's
right. Terror things. Such a stretch for Rob Zombie.
That looks so bad. Oh, it looks bad.
Yeah. 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 It's. I no longer care anymore. I'm no longer offended by it because I'm just. I just don't care.
I don't think he's going to get away with it a second time. I really don't. I think the first time, you know, it found its audience, I don't see people going out for it a second time.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll
see. Nope, because they have Saw 6 to look forward to.
And Drag Me to Hell this month. So.
Drag Me to Hell. Oh, yes. All right. Have you got any news this week at all, Barry?
Yeah. Summit Entertainment, those responsible for Twilight and also for The Knowing, they're planning on making a new Highlander movie in 2010. Another Highlander movie. And it's weird because with every... What's that?
There can be only one, right?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, with every sequel, they keep finding another, you know, another of these guys, another of the McLeod clan, or another Highlander who supposedly is the last one. The absolute last one.
You know what? I think this bears a repeat of last week's audio drop. Hang on, let me get it.
What the f***?
Oh, what the f***? Oh, what the f*** happened to this world?
What the f***?
Okay, I feel better now.
Are those all Kevin Smith movies?
That's all from Clark. Okay. Yeah.
Very good.
Well done, sir. Why?
Yeah.
Like, wasn't the first one the only, arguably,
the first one is great. Yeah, the first one I would say. I would say it's a great movie. I really love the first one. But, yeah, these sequels.
Unless they get Adrian Paul, then it'll be great.
Endgame could have been good, but you know what's weird about that one? I think I mentioned this a while back, was the best parts of the movie are not in the movie. They're in the trailer, and they weren't even for the movie. They were made just for the trailer. It's so weird. It's like there are cool scenes in the trailer, and I actually looked it up, and it turns out they weren't even meant to be in the movie. They were just meant to snooker people into seeing the movie because they were in the trailer.
You know, I saw The Last Dimension,
Oh, that was terrible.
Turned my back on that series forever.
I don't know if what's worse, The Last Dimension or The Quickening, the second one that's supposed to be like one of the worst movies ever made.
Yeah. Well, because I used to watch the TV show, so.
Yeah, the TV show was good.
Yeah, until I saw.
I have a good Highlander drop from Aqua Teen that I should give to you.
Yes, you should.
Shake, like, wants to jump off a cliff to be immortal, like in Highlander. But oh, he's like, that, yeah. Oh, wait! And he, like, falls off.
which show or movie, I can't remember, had the Highlander was a documentary, the events happened in real time?
That's cool. I don't know.
I don't either, but wow, that's a long documentary. Okay.
Awful.
Wow. All right. Ethan, have you got much news this week?
Yes, I got the MTV Awards nominations.
Oh, yay. Who's up this year?
Now, okay, before you read them, I just want to say the thing that everyone's going to complain about, MTV didn't pick the like who's nominated. Like a month ago, they had on their site each category, and then they had like 20 different things that you could pick. So all these like actual nominations were narrowed down by fans.
So it's Twilight everywhere, right?
It's.
Yeah. So did you vote, Josh?
I've not for Twilight. I voted for the original nominations and voted like Dark Knight and Good Things.
Don't tell me Pattinson's up for Best Actor, is he?
He's up for Breakthrough Male.
Oh no!
for Little Ashes. Let's
read them off.
Yeah, read them off because they're bad.
It's your
for Best Movie. We have The Dark Knight,
mm-hmm.
High School Musical 3, Senior Year, Iron Man, Slug Millionaire, and Twilight. For Best Female Performance, we have Angelina Jolie in Wanted, Anne Hathaway in Bride Wars.
This is the point in time. This is the point in time where I need to go grab that Ferris Bueller drop, where the snooty Mater D is like, "I weep for the future of our country."
Keep going, Ethan.
It's Kate Winslet in The Reader.
Ah,
who from MTV watches that movie?
Teenage boys.
Yeah.
Kristen Stewart in Twilight. Taraji P. Henry in Benjamin Button.
Okay.
Okay, now from male performance, we have Christian Bale in The Dark Knight. Robert Downey Jr. in Iron Man. Shia the Beef in Eagle Eye.
Eagle Eye. Not even Transformers. Or no, that would have been too long ago, but
Eagle Eye.
Indy Jones, I guess, could it? Yeah. Vin Diesel, Fast and Furious, the D's, and Zac Efron in High School Musical 3 per year.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
For Breakthrough Female Performer, Amanda Seyfried in Mama, Ashley Tisdale in High School Musical 3, Frida Pinto in Slumdog Millionaire, Miley Cyrus in Hannah Montana, the movie.
I'll be voting for her.
Vanessa, musical 3, senior year. Yeah, know the difference. Kat Dennings and Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. I'd vote for that, actually. Okay, now Breakthrough Performance, male. Robert Pattinson, his constipatedness in Twilight. Taylor Lautner playing the pedophile werewolf. Ben Barnes in Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian, Dev Patel for Slumdog Millionaire, and Bobby J. Thompson for Role Models. That kid was actually funny.
Yes.
For Best Comedic Performance.
Tell me Robert Pattinson's Taylor in there, please.
Wish. Amy Poehler for Baby Mama. Anna Faris for The House Bunny. James Franco for Pineapple Express. Jim Carrey for Yes Man. Steve Carell for Get Smart. For Best Villain, we have Jay Friday the 13th, The Rock and Get Smart.
The Spoiler. Joker
in The Dark Knight, I guess. Whoever played the bad guy in Prom Night.
Yeah.
Jonathan
Shea. What the hell? Like, where did that come from?
And that guy from Hellboy 2. Your best fight. We have Hathaway versus Kate Hudson in Bride Wars.
Best fight.
Christian Bale versus Heath Ledger. Did they even really? I guess they fight, but it wasn't really like a one-on-one.
No,
just a little bit at the end, but that was mostly Batman beating the crap out of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Ron Perlman versus Luke Goss in Hellboy 2. That was a cool fight.
That was a cool fight.
Robert Pattinson versus Cam Gigandi in Twilight.
Okay.
Seth Rogen and James Franco versus Danny McBride.
That was a funny fight.
It was a good fight.
That was like the only fight part of the movie that I loved.
Wow.
Now we're on to Best Kiss.
Oh, God.
Oh, this will be good.
Angelina Jolie and James McAvoy in Wanted. Frida Pinto and Dev Patel in Slumdog Millionaire.
Okay, I can roll with that.
Jai Ho.
Nico and Sean Penn in Milk. I'd vote for that one. Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson in Twilight.
Mm. Is that before or after he asked her for the butt sex? Yes.
I just thought they made googly eyes at each other.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Paul Rudd and Thomas Lennon and I Love You, Man. And Vanessa Hudgens and Zac Efron in High School Musical 3 Senior Year.
The sad thing is, you know, that's what's going to win it.
No, I think Twilight's going to Twilight sweep it. Get it's going to sweep it, man.
We're not done.
These aren't the Razzies, right? I'm just wanting to make sure.
These aren't the Razzies.
Best, okay, new category, WTF moment.
Yeah, the best what the fuck, yeah.
Baby nice mama, peeing in the sink, Wanted, Curved Bullet Kill, Slumdog Millionaire in the Poop Shed, Tropic Thunder, Tasting the Decapitated Head, and Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Naked Breakup. These aren't really...
Those aren't even...
Not even in the movies, respective movies.
But nobody did the nuke the fridge bit, yeah. which everybody says is the what the moment of 2008.
I looked at the website. Remember, Josh, you're talking about they had like determined the nominees. But
yeah.
I remember in Watchmen, Dr. Manhattan, Wiener was listed under here.
Yeah. There was actually some pretty fun stuff under that category, and that's like... None of those are even like...
Was the fridge in there?
Actually, I think it might have been.
See, that's just wrong.
Okay. You know, it's funny when Ethan was reading off the best actresses and like he said Angelina Jolie. I'm like, oh, for Changeling. No, for Wanted.
Well, and Anne Hathaway for Bride Wars. Bride
Wars. You got more, Ethan?
Okay. We've got one more.
Okay.
Oh,
best song from a movie.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, no.
Jai Ho from Slumdog Millionaire. Ooh, okay. Good tune. The Wrestler. Wow, somebody actually nominated that.
Jeez.
So the MTV Movie Awards got something the Academy couldn't get right. Oh, that's sad.
Man.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. The Climb from Hannah Montana the movie.
Actually, like that song.
How many times did you vote, Melissa?
I didn't vote at all. But Miley Cyrus's Twitter every day says, vote for me on MTP.com.
It apparently worked.
Okay. I didn't even know she had a Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Fascinating.
Last song, Decode from Twilight.
Okay.
Hmm. Is that the one by Radiohead?
No, it's the one by Paramore.
You know, I would love to say that I like Paramore, except they've been in the Twilight soundtracks. That's the only thing.
Well, Radiohead's on the Twilight, and that's not their fault. They those jerks stole that song off the album and put it in that movie. Poor Radiohead.
I'm sure they paid Radiohead plenty of money to do that.
I hope they did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, I would actually watch it if they still did skits, but they don't even do that anymore.
They did?
Really?
No.
Last year they had... Ben Stiller, Robert Downey Jr., and Jack Black do this thing. It was pretty funny.
Okay, that was funny. But, like, and the year before that, though, Sarah Silverman hosted, and she didn't do anything. Remember when, like, Lisa Kudrow was, like, they made fun of the Phantom Menace, and she was, like, in front of the Jedi Council?
Yeah, and Jack Black.
Yeah, and Yoda's like, and, like, all just, like, all that. Like, Tom Cruise, or no, it was Ben Stiller as Tom Cruise's stunt double.
Yeah,
like,
Mr.
all those
Impossible
awesome
too, yeah.
skits,
yeah.
they don't do that anymore.
Even when, like, Chris Rock hosted it way back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Andy Samberg's hosting this year, so maybe there'll be something special.
Hopefully, yeah.
So is he going to sing Mother Lover?
More Jizz in My Pants?
Oh, did you guys last night?
Yeah.
That was good stuff.
That was a great music video for Mother Lover. Yeah, did you see it? I'll just show you after the show. Okay. It is up there. It is up there with In a Box.
Nice.
So, yeah. Okay.
I look forward to that.
Man. Man, after that, I don't even know if I can... Any more news?
Okay, I'll do my last two things really quick. For some reason, Robert Downey Jr. being half in his Iron Man suit has made big news.
Eating a donut?
Yeah. Yeah.
This movie's going to be awesome.
And then, for some reason, because, you know, we don't have enough Seth MacFarlane TV between Family Guy and American Dad. When King of the Hill goes off the air, Cleveland is supposed to be coming in. He's getting his own show. Yeah, thank you.
I hate Family Guy.
Me too.
Thank you.
With all my heart. Like.
Oh, you have a keeper, Josh. I'm just saying. You know, in case you didn't know this already. Yeah, even better yet is that before a single episode of Cleveland has aired, it's already been renewed for a second season. All right.
Well, what about the... Isn't there more to that?
No.
The Family Guy movie?
Oh, there. I don't pay attention to the Family Guy movie.
Why are they making...
Family Guy movies in development. Yeah. So.
Why? It's going to be like 2 hours of... That reminds me of the time that I did this. And then
it's going to be like the Futurama movies.
To be awful.
And I love Futurama, but those movies for the most part were awful.
Referencing a movie is not the same thing as a joke.
Exactly. Here, let me keep throwing things at you until you
actually
giggle.
What did Cartman say about Family Guy? He's like, they don't even have character development like us. He's like talking about how much better South Park is than Family Guy.
Nice.
Like, you see this, Kyle? This is real character development.
I don't even know anymore. Okay, well, you know, on that pleasant little note, let's take a break and we'll come back and talk a little Miller's Crossing and talk about next week's releases, okay, amongst other things. So hang on, we will be back.
Get your geek on in a Geek Label t-shirt. Shirts for gamers, geeks, and tech heads. If you like games, movies, computers, or comics, we've got your new t-shirt waiting for you. Let Geek Label change your life. You can go from...
Oh, hell no.
To...
Oh, hell yeah!
In the blink of a t-shirt. And the best part, every design is available in all kinds of silky, smooth colors and shirt styles. Short and long sleeve tees. And for the ladies, ooh, ringers, raglans, ladies tees, even spaghetti strap tees. Feel fly, walk tall, be irresistible to the opposite sex. Alright, even we can't do all that. Hundreds of designs and they're all off the hook, yo. You pick the style, you pick the color, we do the rest. Cause that's how we roll. Get your geek on at Geek Label. That's one word, geeklabel.com.
And I totally forgot about this last bit of news that Barry had. So I'll let him bring it up before we get into the topic of the day.
Absolutely. Darren Lynn Bousman, the genius behind Repo! Exclamation point, the genetic opera. He has decided upon his new film, which is to do a remake of Mother's Day. This is the trauma film. And Uncle Lloydie, Lloyd Kaufman, will be the executive producer. And it's going to be out by Mother's Day 2010. So a year from now, dang, we're going to be talking about Mother's Day.
That's a pretty quick turnaround.
Well, you know,
there's
it's
no script, there's no casting, there's, yeah.
Hey, that's the norm for a trauma movie. Let's see.
That's true.
I'm sure Darren will keep up pace with the trauma guys.
They have to do a Saw movie a year, so
yeah,
they can do that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, I'm leaving that alone. I don't know why, but I am. All right, so what are we talking about this week, sir? We're starting our new series.
Yes, on the Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan Coen, and we're going to talk about their, let's see, this is their third film, I believe, Miller's Crossing.
Before we get to that, do we want to talk about the downsides
of
the Coen brothers?
I think you do, Dave, so go ahead.
I think, I'm thinking of one movie in particular. Because people, I actually talked to a few people saying that we were going to do this. They're like, are you going to talk about Intolerable Cruelty? So.
Yeah, I guess we could talk about that. I mean,
it's worth mentioning just ever so briefly that it is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
It stinks. It really stinks. Nothing works. No. It should have been a black comedy like The War of the Roses, or, you know, even one of the, or like Oh Brother We're Out There, but it's just nothing works in that movie. It's unpleasant. It's not funny. The stars are misdirected. It's nothing work. Billy, what's his name? Bill, our favorite.
Billy Bob
Bixby.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Sorry, Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell. Oh, okay.
Sorry,
Bill. Negative geek points.
Sorry, just lost four. He's in the film, and they don't even know what to do with him in that movie.
No. It's you know, we've mentioned this Hitchcock film a few times, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but gone horribly, horribly wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I just wanted to get that out of the way. Because
they have done good movies, we
they
swear.
They have, and these are some of the lesser-known good movies. In a way, we're kind of going along the same route of what Drew McWeeny's doing over at HitFix. Just trying to introduce all the movie geeks in the world to some of the great movies that they've probably never seen. So we're kind of going down that road. We're starting with Miller's Crossing. Holy crap. I'd never seen this movie. What did you think of this, Ethan?
Yeah, I was really impressed, too. It was also my first time watching it. this is one of their dramas, and you know, I've obviously have like seen No Country, but what I've seen is their comedies. So even it's always a little weird seeing one of their dramas, but there's always still that awesome comic relief in it, like that the fat guy in the movie.
Yeah, John Pulido.
What's his name again? Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah,
it's like he's totally overacting from his first scene onwards, but it's so fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
This movie gave me a whole new level of respect for John Turturro as an actor.
Oh, he's amazing. I don't know why he wasn't nominated for this film. He's incredible. Gosh.
Yeah, and I've liked the guy for a long time, but having seen this, I mean, he jumped up the scale on as far as like great actors.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Transformers, but
yeah, you outside would never
of Transformers. From Transformers.
Yeah.
Well, he's been doing a lot of Adam Sandler movies lately. He was mm-hmm. in that Schwarzenegger movie, Collateral Damage. He's done some stinkers lately. But, you know, actors got to eat, so.
Your dad just put that on the other night.
What?
Collateral Damage.
Was I there?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, sorry.
That's random.
I love the scene where Schwarzenegger, like, bashes the television station, like, this is collateral damage, and this is collateral damage, and this is collateral damage, and bashing, destroying the studio.
Get down!
My dad would.
Back to this movie, though. What I love was that it is a quirky film. It is absolutely a Coen Brothers film.
Yeah,
but it's definitely got kind of almost that noir Sam Spade really gritty feel to it.
Yeah,
and I've never been afraid to say I wasn't a big fan of No Country for Old Men. This I think topped it mm-hmm. by a long shot.
I agree.
It's one of their best movies I've seen, and I'm a bigger fan of their comedies than their dramas. That's for sure.
I agree with you, Dave. There were a lot of mob movies that came out this year. It came out the same year as Goodfellas and The Godfather Part 3. And honestly, I think I like this one better than Buffalo's. I really do. I love Miller's Crossing. The scene where the two hitmen are coming in to get Albert Finney.
Yes. Scene, oh, my gosh. That was so...
That's awesome.
Danny Boy.
What's up?
That's a Danny Boy.
Yes.
Yeah, it's old.
Right, yeah, Danny Boy, that scene. The scene in the forest. I mean, for me, there's just so many classic scenes in this movie. Gabriel Byrne is awesome, but I love him the most in this movie. Marcia Gay Harden, I thought she was a serious hottie in this movie. I became a total fan of hers after this movie. Turturro, everybody. And I love the music by Carter Burwell. Beautiful music. The opening shot of the hats flying in the distance. And yeah, for me, this is a classic gangster movie. I love this film.
It absolutely is.
Is it in Goodfellas?
Yeah, I do like it better than Goodfellas. Yeah.
Now you have to watch it.
Yeah, I do.
One thing, just having seen this movie now, I don't know if you guys have seen the Usual Suspects DVD special features. They're talking. Bryan Singer was talking about when he made Gabriel Byrne wear the coat and hat. He's like, "Why are you making me do this?" He's like, "Because I'm a big Miller's Crossing fan." Suddenly, that joke makes sense now.
Nice,
because he just is just this bad. Here's the greatest thing about it. Everyone respects him. Everything. He's a bad, mad man, but he gets the crap beat out of him more often in this movie.
Yeah.
I have no idea why he has the respect that he gets.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I love Albert Finney in this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a tough old bird in this movie. Love his work.
That he is. That you're right. That part with the two guys coming for him. That was just amazing.
Yeah, it's a very violent scene, too. Like, it's pretty shocking, but it's also... It's not like... It doesn't turn you off.
Mm-hmm.
In a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very raw. It's not well glamorized. Done. It's just... I am going to take care of business now.
Yeah, like the best mob movies. I mean, you're engaged by these characters, but you don't necessarily like these people at all. They're not role models at all. These are despicable mobsters.
Yeah, Steve Buscemi was good in it.
Yeah,
for the little bit that he's in it, but still. Yeah.
What about that guy who worked, you know, with John Polito, Eddie Dane?
The Dane, yes.
Cool.
Yes. It's such a bloody movie in some spots. Like, especially that one scene involving those two characters. Not going to spoil anything.
But. Yeah, yeah, it's incredibly brutal. The one complaint a lot of people have is, and I think it's a viable, is that the word?
Valid.
It's a valid complaint, is that it is initially a little hard to get into at first.
Okay, yeah,
you know, it is
I can
little,
see that.
The dialogue is a little thick initially. Initially, it's hard to know exactly who everybody all is. And for me, it wasn't until that great fist fight at the beginning of the movie where the camera follows the guys, he's stumbling across the room.
That was so good.
I mean, I think for a lot of people, that's when the movie really starts to work on them. Because initially, the film is a little off-putting because these characters are so bizarre.
They absolutely are. Well, it's a Coen Brothers film.
Yes.
The Coen Brothers are known for quirky characters and very specific camera movements, pretty much. Now, part of that comes with working with Roger Deakins, but still. Mm-hmm. the way that they write is very unique.
Yeah.
And it really worked well this time.
This was the first Coen Brothers movie that really sucked me in, because I was kind of on the fence about Blood Simple. I love it now. But I've honestly never been a huge fan of Raising Arizona.
Really?
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I think there's brilliance in Raising Arizona, but for me it was just a little too cartoonish, if that's possible.
Fair enough.
But it's, don't get me wrong, I don't think it's a bad movie. I just wasn't crazy about it. But this is the movie that made me a big fan. And I, after this, with like Barton Fink, and you know, I watched everything they did very closely after this one.
Very cool. Did you want to say anything else at all, Ethan?
I mentioned a scene with the camera work, but I really like that part in The Force of Totoro where the camera is like following as he's done. That was a pretty amazing shot.
Oh, as during the begging, shall we say?
Yeah.
Yes, that was. It's just a beautiful movie. It's well worth checking out.
Yeah,
if you're a movie fan, if you like crime movies, so good.
Yeah, very poetic film.
Yeah, yeah. The part where they throw the Molotov in, and dude walks out, and bam, and everyone starts laughing, and suddenly machine gun fire starts up. That was a great scene of comic relief right there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes. So yes, I don't even know who put this DVD out, but it's a good one. You can get on Netflix, go to Hollywood, go to Blockbuster. You can get this pretty much anywhere.
I think our friends at Fox did.
Did they?
Yeah, it was a 20th Century Fox film. So.
That's right, it was. So yeah, they put it. Hey, you know, another yet more proof that Fox used to be awesome.
That's right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, 90s. The 90s, a good decade for Fox.
Yes. Okay, I just had to close that real quick.
Playing the piano for a second then.
Yeah. You know, I think, what are we talking about next week? We're going to do Blood Simple or Barton Fink next?
We can do Blood Simple. Go back to the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen that one already, and I have work next weekend, so you guys
can. So we'll go ahead and do that one. Okay.
Blood Simple cool. It is.
Blood Simple followed up by Barton Fink, which is so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And ending up with the Hudsucker Proxy.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Where they know how to use Bruce Campbell correctly.
That's right.
So, but until then, what's coming out on DVD next week, sir? There's something I missed that's coming out next week. I forgot to tell you on the list.
Well, let's see. Next week on DVD, you've got True Blood Season 1.
The HBO series. This is your pick, right, Ethan?
Yeah, it's an awesome, awesome show. It's an intelligent version of Twilight. Let me just say that.
So it's not just because of Anna Paquin?
No, she does get naked in it, so.
Okay.
So it's a plus.
Is there a lot of nudity in that show?
Oh yeah, it's the thing is jam packed with sex and boobies and stuff.
We'll be buying.
All right, what else we got, sir?
Valkyrie, one of my favorites of last year, though I'm sure by this time next year people will be calling it Inglourious Basterds for wimps. Valkyrie coming out in the 1 and 2 disc and Blu-ray special edition.
And the 2 disc comes with a coaster.
Does it with a 3rd disc? Ah, oh, crap.
I don't know if it's a 3rd disc or if it's on the 2nd disc, but yeah. I
wonder if it has a swastika on it.
You
that'd
know,
be interesting.
Pure random thing really quick. Could. JCVD, Walmart, $12.
$12?
Yeah, and it comes with a digital copy, but still, for $12, and it has all the versions. So unlike Netflix, who dubs everything, like Let the Right One In and JCVD, now I can actually watch the movie properly.
Beautiful. So, beautiful. Yes. That's excellent news. Yes, JCVD. One of the worst films of 2009, Paul Blart, Mall Cop. I hate even saying the title. This film is just sludge.
You know, I had a blart this morning, but no, okay.
Moving on. Let's see. The Guild, Season 1 and 2. What is this, Dave?
The Guild is a show created by, why am I spacing her name now? Crap, the girl from Dr. Horrible Sing-Along blog.
Felicia Day,
yes. She created and wrote this show. It's about a guild, quote-unquote, of people who play, World of Warcraft, essentially, together, and their real-life exploits. It is disturbing. It is hilarious. You can also catch them on YouTube and Xbox Live. They're free.
Is it live action? Or?
Yeah, it's live action. They actually do some of the stuff inside the world, too, and it is such a geeky, beautiful show. I'm guessing they're doing this kind of along the same lines as Dr. Horrible, because they're both in the Amazon and exclusive. So I'm guessing it's like one of those, we'll press the DVD on demand type thing. And then they'll do the legit releases later.
Nice. I want to see that. That sounds
it's
really good.
It's good. It's fun. It's on. I think all of them are on YouTube.
Okay.
So yeah, well worth checking out.
Very good. All the Lord of the Rings films separately released theatrical cuts on DVD.
And you can get the widescreen and full screen. This breaks my brain. Why they really released this.
Full screen.
You know, in case you don't want to pay 5 cents to buy it off of eBay right now, you can go buy it brand new in the store.
For Pete's sake.
It's 5 cents on eBay?
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure that they're like penny sales with like $3 shipping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the Manitou Springs Penny Arcade, at the Ski Ball Room, you could, if you get like enough tickets, you can get a VHS copy of Lord of the Rings. It's been like sitting in the case there for like years. I'm so tempted to get it.
Yes.
Wow. I'll be like, dude, I'll give you a ticket for it.
I think it's like 2,000 tickets. I'm saving my tickets. That's all I got to say. Jim Caviezel in Outlander.
That's really all you need to say. That's kind of a crap title for the week, pretty much.
This spark.
What was that, sir?
Humorous moment on the Film Junk podcast. Co-host watched the.
Dude, you totally broke up for all that.
No.
Okay, hang on. Okay, so what were you saying, Ethan? I want to know about Film Junk, because Film Junk is a really good podcast.
When they reviewed that on their show, Greg on the show accidentally watched the wrong movie. He watched Outlanders, which is like a Polish film about immigrants.
That's great.
That's like watching Pirates and Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, mine had a lot of sex.
Yeah. Never knew Keira Knightley was that flexible. Okay, let's move on, please.
Moving on. Crap Shadow of the Week is Steven Seagal in Driven to Kill. You know, what's funny is he's actually carrying a gun on the poster for this. It's like, for a while, you know, his hands were the weapon, but now he needs a gun because, you know, Steven Seagal isn't as fast as he used to be.
Getting older.
Yeah.
It's getting older. Fanboys finally getting released on DVD after getting made in, what, 2006, 2005?
Something like that.
The most released film ever in the history of DVD is once again being re-released again. T2, this time the Skynet edition with the exoskeleton special edition collector set on Blu-ray.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It's not just that. It's also, it's a six-disc set for Terminator 2. It's got the Extreme Edition, the Ultimate Edition, the Blu-ray, it's just kind of disturbing.
But it's all T2.
Yeah, it's all T2.
Oh, man.
But it comes in a skeleton head?
It has an endoskeleton skull.
Well, put the trilogy on that. Don't do...
No, joke. Just the same movie over and over again.
So you got six different versions of T2. That's such one do you want to watch?
What's the difference between the Extreme Edition and the Ultimate Edition?
I don't... No idea. Because I've got the Ultimate Edition. I've got the one with the tin sleeve and everything.
I think that's, and it's like really long, isn't it?
Yeah.
I tried watching it. It's like
the director's cut is so, but it's better. It's like the Abyss levels of better almost, I'd say. I really dug the director's cut.
This is so incomplete because even if they did this for Terminator Salvation with the four movies, it's still incomplete because Salvation is, you know, it ends with a cliffhanger. So they have to do a fifth one. So no matter what.
Terminator Forgiveness or something.
They're doing three new Terminator movies.
That's right.
That's
yeah. New trilogy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. The only series that's been released more is like Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Between Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness.
But still never
Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's Living Dead.
Yeah.
John Connor.
Wow, okay then.
That's what he sounds like.
The new Spike Lee joint, Kobe Doing Work. This is a documentary on Kobe Bryant. Supposed to be really good. A film that Josh
it,
and
as
I...
Long as, he, as long as they show the part where he gets clotheslined by Roger Bell in the playoffs a few years ago, I will watch it.
It's probably there.
Josh and I what?
Josh and I really enjoyed this one. My Bloody Valentine in 3D and the 2D flip disc edition.
So does it come with like... 3D glasses like drenched in blood already, or like what's the?
It's the cheesy the blue and red.
Oh,
glasses.
That's not fun.
Yeah, I found some 3D glasses in your car.
Yesterday. Oh, you did?
Like real D? Maybe mm-hmm. those will work.
Real D ones.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Like the Beowulf ones.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Because don't watch that movie if it's not in 3D.
Oh, seriously?
Otherwise, okay. Terrible.
Yeah. Otherwise, she's just running naked, and there's no 3D, and that's part of the charm. She was naked in 3D. It's like I've never
for
seen
like
this 20.
Before. It was like a 10-minute. Yeah,
I saw that in non-3D, and it was like the most awkward movie watching experience ever, because there's just so many scenes where like a sword is pointed at the screen and you're like, okay.
This is a very phallic film. Yeah. Alright, in theaters next week.
No,
we got more.
No, we've still got DVDs to cover. There's one more that I totally forgot to put on the list.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Dave.
We're getting a re-release of Galaxy Quest.
Oh, yes. For the 10th anniversary. Very good.
Which is very cool because I was reading over at DVD Talk. They did a, they already have a review up of it. And there are a lot of cool special features. Like, the entire cast came back to talk about this movie.
Oh, great.
Like, they were saying, you can tell that this cast really loved being part of this movie because everyone comes back for it.
And Entertainment Weekly said that they've got a feature where you see Sigourney Weaver rapping.
Yes.
Where else can you see Sigourney Weaver rapping? That's so yeah, cool.
And apparently it's as painful as it sounds.
Cool.
They're like, we're shocked that she actually let this be on the DVD.
Awesome. Well,
can't be worse than Alien Resurrection.
Well, there is that.
Well, no, it could. Alien versus Predator Requiem.
Well, I mean, but for Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney movies. Weaver, yes. This is
all right, and theatrical next week.
Theatrical next week. The book was a prequel. The movie is a sequel. Tom Hanks is Robert Langdon again in Angels and Demons. The Brothers Bloom, which I've heard good things about. Mark Ruffalo and Rachel Weisz and Adrian Brody in limited release. This is from the director of Brick, which I liked. No one else did. Big Man Japan. Big Man Japan, a limited release. This movie looks awesome.
So tell me about this again, because
it's a spoof of Godzilla movies. It's a Japanese film about this guy who becomes about like 12, 13 stories tall, and he terrorizes Japan all by himself. It looks awesome. It's all digital effects, really crazy stuff. Yeah, you got to see this trailer.
I'm absolutely down.
A film that was made years ago, finally getting released, in limited release, Management, starring Jennifer Aniston and Steve Zahn. This is old.
Wow.
And with this cast, you figure it would, you know, be like a...
Back when they let Steve Zahn still be in movies, whatever happened to him?
Happy Texas.
Yeah.
Well. I think he did this like around the time Rescue Dawn was in theaters. I mean, this is an old film.
Wow. And he was good in that.
Yeah, he was very good in that.
All right. Was that it? That's all we got for this week?
That's it.
That's all right. We have a little bit of business to take care of. Just to finish up, first of all, we have no mail, but it's okay. We have a voicemail line active again. Give us a call, 719-553-5664. You can also send us an email, podcastjoshberrydaveethan@screengeeks.com.
Please call me. I'm lonely.
All right, then. That works. If you leave a message on the voicemail line, I'll make sure I forward it to him. We have I had the chance to do an interview with Katie Sackhoff this week, and it is one of the more fun times I've ever had doing an interview, because it wasn't an interview, it was just kind of like hanging out talking. It was a good time. And there's a few shout outs we have to make. First of all, big congratulations to Kyle and Jamin Winans, the entire crew of Ink. Starting June 10th, Ink will be playing in LA at the Egyptian Theater.
Awesome.
Tickets are on sale right now. If you're in LA, you need to see this movie, please. You will not regret seeing this thing at all. Big thanks to Andrea. Andrea, what the? Let me try that again, because that's just, there's no way to pull out of that one. Big thanks to Andrew from G-Man Reviews and Shannon the Movie Moxie for our little chat about Star Trek yesterday. Star Wars. See, it was so much fun that I'm okay to make that you know, it's the fun factor.
That's right.
Yeah, I screwed up that. There's no, yeah. And in the association with the Katie Sackhoff thing, I found out a little bit more about her pilot that wasn't picked up. It's called Lost and Found. It's a buddy cop show, essentially. No, it's not a buddy cop show. It's, you know, the opposites attract kind of thing. She's the rebel, and Brian Cox is her partner.
Cool.
Which sounds like a really cool idea. So there's a petition out there trying to get it to actually be made, because everyone's shocked it didn't get made. So I'll put up a link to that in the show, and I guess that's about it. It's been a rich, full show. It's been a good time. Next week we'll talk about Star Trek more, I guess.
Okay,
so Terminator's after that, right?
Yes.
And then it's Up.
Yep.
And then it's Bruno?
No, then it's Drag Me to Hell.
Okay.
Bruno, I think, is July, isn't it?
Do you get pushed into July?
I think so.
Up and Drag Me to Hell come out the same weekend.
Oh, crap.
I will say, the new Up trailer got me excited to see it again. I'm so surprised that happened. Because I was like all psyched, because I'm like, hey, it's Pixar, so I got to see it. And then I was, and now I can't wait again. So
that'll be a weird double feature. Which one do you see first, like Up or Drag Me to Hell?
Oh, Drag Me to Hell, I think.
First?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you ended on that note, it'd be kind of a downer.
Or just like the coolest thing ever. Yeah, who knows? Yeah, I don't know. All right. But let's just go ahead and wrap it up. Next week, we're talking Blood Simple. But until then, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
Josh.
Ethan.
Cool. Take it easy.